Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yo, what's happening? Hour number two here on the show, Tiki and Tierney. Coming from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So we know who's going to the Super Bowl. Tiki and I will be out there as well. Santa will be with us as per usual for a couple of shows in Miami. For the first time since maybe Santa Clara, it's not going to be freezing.
I know.
I mean, Minnesota put on a great show.
It was torturously cold.
Oh, it was cold as hell.
Torturously cold.
It was cold.
It was negative two every single moment. I felt like we were outside.
Where else have we been? Indy's usually chilly that time of year.
Yeah. But Indy's inside and it's not spread out. Minneapolis was like, a lot of it was spread out. Houston was nice.
Yeah, Houston was okay. New Orleans was good.
Yep.
And
Arizona was
Glendale, right?
Glendale.
Yeah, Glendale. It was the first one I think we went to.
That's right.
That's when I lost my shirt.
No, New Orleans was the first one.
The second one, oh, geez, that was the second.
Yeah, you kind of forgot. First one with Santa. We forgot that one.
Yeah, it was a rough one. Thank God get rid of that tape. So, Tom Brady's hanging out with Mark Davis. Hey, Tom, how does your hair look like that? Oh, I don't know, Mark. I just remove the bowl when I get my hair cut.
His hair looks fantastic, though.
Hey, that looks great. Tom looks great. All right, listen, there is no way. I don't think there is any chance that Tom Brady.
Why? Why not?
First of all, I don't think there's any chance he plays for the Raiders, just to complete the thought, but here's why. You have to know, and I know that you know this, he is a master. I don't think he's perceived this way, but he is a master manipulator of social media.
This is a good point.
He plays it well.
Because he plays the long game so well.
That's right.
Like, he waited forever to get on Twitter. Waited forever to get on Instagram. Facebook he had, and he did it for a while.
And he monetized it.
And he monetized exactly, because he did the...
He probably bought stock when it was like $13 a share.
Tom versus Time, or whatever it was. And ultimately, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Got to see an inside look at Tom Brady, who's, you know, notoriously closed off his family life with Giselle and their kids. But, like, he always waits, and then he blows it up.
Mm-hmm.
Blows it up.
He does.
And he's good at it. Like, he has a team, I'm sure, that just puts together interesting posts, for sure.
And this was an interesting post. I mean, let's face it. The Raiders are going to Las Vegas. The stadium, you know, first time I ever saw the blueprint, I said it looks like Darth Vader's chamber. I mean, it looks so sweet. It's going to be incredible. But aside from the fact that I think it would be a horrendous fit football-wise for him, because let's just say for a moment, let's indulge in fantasy land. And let's say he goes and plays for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that the contract dries, he is by miles, the second best quarterback in the division. And to me, that is not something that you want to sign up for if this is all about legacy. If it's not just about legacy, maybe we have a different conversation.
Well, first of all, I think he's re-signing with the New England Patriots. I think this is just interest. It's fun fodder. It's something to talk about. I don't think he's going anywhere else because, as I've always said, BT, and it extra applies for him. Nobody loves you like your mama, right? And what I mean by that, for those who have missed this over the years, you get drafted somewhere, some team fell in love with you for whatever reason. Now, maybe the Patriots didn't really fall in love with him. They kind of just accepted him because he was like, we need another quarterback in the sixth round. Let's get this Tom Brady kid.
Yep.
But eventually they fall in love with him after he ends up starting and leading to a Super Bowl, even though he didn't really do much that first Super Bowl. But still, like, he's their guy, and they love him, and they built around him. And the same thing goes for really any other player. Someone has scouted you. A general manager has convinced a coach, and a coach has convinced a position coach that this is our guy. I really want Tiki Barber, right? He's our guy. And when we draft him, he's going to do all these things, I promise you. So, like, there's this invested interest in you.
No doubt. I can see that, sure.
And so then free agency comes, and you're like, all right, I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm going someplace else. And Tom Brady's kind of at that point. I'm keeping an open mind about free agency. I'm going to go someplace else after 20 years with the New England Patriots under my mama's house, right? And he goes to Oakland, and let's say all the things that we have been intimating, he's losing a little bit of, you know, reading abilities. Mm-hmm. He's obviously lost a step athletically, multiple steps athletically. Can't move. He's like a statue in the pocket, right? He has, you know, a couple of games of, you know, 61% completion percentage, Maybe they lose because the team's not nearly as good or well coached. And all of a sudden, people in Oakland are going, what the hell was all the hype about? It's Tom Brady, get him out of here.
Correct.
Like the last
thing. You mean Las Vegas?
I mean, yeah, Las Vegas.
But I know what you mean.
The last thing I think Tom Brady needs on his legacy is someone who's not his mama hating on him.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if he stays in New England and that same scenario applies, 61%, maybe they lose a couple games, maybe they lose to the Dolphins again, whatever. They lose some games they're not supposed to. People will be like, all right, Tom.
Yeah.
Man,
it's magical.
It's been a hell of a career.
And at some point.
Yeah, you had to end. I'm glad we saw it all the way through.
Tommy, we love you.
There's no way he's going to play for the Oakland.
He's not going to play for Mark Davis. I don't see that happening at all. I'm sorry. Now, you want to say, would he go and play? First of all, how many teams would even. There's two aspects. And I agree with you. I don't believe he's going to leave the Pats. Mm-hmm. But for those who believe that he might, you have to.
Well, so let's assume he's not going to go back to the Pats. Where else could he go?
You have to identify a suitor, or at least a potential suitor. The Colts.
Mm-hmm. The Colts make sense.
See, but I don't even think that they make sense. But I'll tell you why. I just jotted it down. I won't forget. I don't think it makes sense from his point of view. Maybe from theirs it might.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Okay, I got you.
Because the same that I just described about the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders applies to every other team that he potentially was going to go to.
Yeah, that's fair. Would you entertain, I mean, this would shock the football world, but is there a sliver for the Cowboys for a year? Just for a year?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I don't disagree. I'm just asking.
I think Dak is their guy.
I agree. Ravens are set. He wouldn't want to play in Cincy. Not going to the Browns, although some people said that he's not going there. Steelers, Big Ben coming back.
That was contingent upon Josh McDaniels getting that job.
Big part of it.
As we all know, Josh McDaniels did not get that job.
Good point. Kirk's got another year at the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Rodgers is still playing there. Stafford's still with the Lions. Trubisky's back with Chicago. I don't think he would want to play in Chicago anyway. Mm-hmm. The Texans have Watson. The Colts, will get to them in a moment. The Jaguars, even there might be an opening, but he's not going there. Tennessee Titans, I think Tannehill stays put.
Yep.
Matt Ryan staying with Atlanta. Carolina could be. Do we throw Carolina on the list based on who they brought in?
No, I think Carolina is going all in to get Joe Brady. I mean, Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
After they got Joe Brady,
after they went all in to get Joe Brady.
Yeah,
yeah.
David Tepper is all about money. He's all about doing what I want to do.
I don't think the Bengals are going to make that trade.
I agree.
I really don't. By the way, I think that they should. I think that they should be very amenable to at least a possible trade. I don't think that they are.
Yeah.
Mike Brown's old school, man. Mike Brown doesn't do business the way you need to do business in the NFL, which, with all due respect to Mike Brown, that's why they are the Bengals again. I mean, really, even though they had a nice upward trajectory for a couple of years, they could
just say something interesting. I don't want to bring it to air because I kind of don't agree with him.
Okay.
He said Tom Brady going to Carolina with a rookie head coach, obviously Matt Rhule. I think the best thing that the Carolina Panthers could do is bring a guy like Tom Brady for Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
I think it stabilizes.
Well, what was Mike saying? That it's a bad thing?
Yeah, just he can't see it. But I don't think that's right.
I don't see Brady playing for you.
I don't either.
As
I don't
a
either.
Premise or no, my Brady issue, specifically?
Yeah, my issue is more like Tom Brady. He's Tom Brady, right? Like, he comes in there, he'll control the locker room. He controls the narrative. He's Tom Brady. When it comes down to, do I listen to Tom Brady or do I listen to this guy who's at Temple and Baylor?
Well, that guy's got a 7-year contract, so you better listen.
Yeah, you're right.
And Tom's not playing until he's 50, whatever.
I agree, but at the end of the day, I feel like it could do more to undermine a guy like Rhule than it could to actually help him.
Look, he's not going to the Carolina Panthers. The fact that they bring in Joe Brady as their offensive coordinator means that they're playing a system like Joe Brady instituted at LSU, which is wide open, it's fast-paced, that is not
rollouts, movement.
Right. Quarterback's got to be an athlete.
Not the skill set.
That is not Tom Brady.
That's true.
I just brought it back up because of the premise of Tom Brady with a rookie head coach. I actually think that's a good thing. It'd be a great thing for that rookie head coach.
I'm more with you on that,
too. You know what I mean?
I get
But he's not going to the Carolina Panthers.
But here's why he shouldn't go to the Colts. While I think the Colts might make a little
Chargers
bit of sense.
Chargers is the only other one that I can.
You know, and we've said that for months. I don't think he's going there.
I don't
there.
Think that's
Although
either.
Philip Rivers moved his family to Florida.
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
He's like, we'll see.
Never moved from San Diego. We know that. He was commuting, which it's got to be draining. You give him props for being a
great
dad.
Yeah, he had a driver. He had like a Sprinter, one of those Mercedes Sprinter vans. He had like a big TV in the back, so he's watching tape. But still, you're an hour plus away.
Yeah, it's a exactly. Exactly. Not ideal circumstances.
No.
So I don't think that, that is interesting that he moved to Florida. I don't know, maybe that opens the door for for Rivers with the Jaguars or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, I don't even really believe that necessarily.
I think
maybe what about the Dolphins? Well, you could probably bring back Fitzpatrick. You're going to bring back Fitzpatrick. Yeah. They're definitely going to bring him back. All right, so Brady with the Colts. Maybe players don't think about this, but I know we do.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes to Indianapolis, and I'll put quotes around the word flop, because he's not going to implode. He'll be functional. He'll be efficient somewhat, although there'll be, you know, more and more drop-off each year. But he's not going to be Jameis Winston with 31 picks.
No.
That's not going to happen. But if he fails to achieve that requisite level of acceptance, whatever that might be for Colts fans and football fans, do you really want to fail where Peyton Manning thrived?
Yeah.
Does that matter
unless,
to him?
It's got not, to. And let's not forget that right after Peyton Manning was Andrew Luck. Now, Andrew Luck didn't win a Super Bowl, but for a while, Andrew Luck was taking the requisite steps,
yeah.
Right? Division. I mean, a wild card in the division
first
round.
3 years, then, it took a literal
then,
step.
Yeah, and then you get to the AFC Championship game, which we all know was the Flategate game.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt, and he ultimately retired. But it just feels like the sequencing isn't right of that narrative for Tom
mm-hmm.
Brady
mm-hmm.
in Indianapolis. Now, would he be good for them? I think, yeah, because they have a good run game. Their defense is vastly improved over what it's historically been.
Mm-hmm.
And he could step into a system that I think could be tailor-made for a skill set, especially if T.Y. Hilton stays healthy and, you know, what's the kid's name? Pascal was good last year.
Yeah.
Like, there's talent on that
decent
squad.
Tight ends, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he could fit into that system really, really well. That's why if the only place I see him potentially going would be the Colts.
Yeah.
But I don't think it makes sense for his legacy to go to the Colts.
I mean, do you think Giselle's going to Indianapolis?
No. Well, I mean, no.
Yeah.
No. No. I don't know. But given the Instagram photo, BT at the, was it the divisional? No, it was a wild card game. The wild card game, Giselle posted a photo.
I don't think I saw this one.
I sent it to the group. Giselle posted a photo of her and her daughter in a box getting for the wild card game.
Okay,
and I said
in a box,
the suite.
Oh, I got
the suite.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, that one.
And I sent the picture. I'm like, and it's in the corner.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, why'd they give Giselle like the worst box in the stadium?
You couldn't squeeze her in a little bit more prominently.
Know, right?
It's Tom Brady's wife.
maybe that was indicative of what was coming down the line.
You think so?
I don't know.
You know, and by the way, as much as you say nobody loves you like your mama, they didn't love him a couple of years ago when they were getting ready to give the keys to Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's a good point.
Before Tom Brady had a power play and went to Robert Kraft and said, this better not happen.
I got
to
tell you, though, like at the time, I didn't get it. I was like, Tom Brady is still at the height. And by the way, he won two more Super Bowls after that, right? It's like Tom Brady's at the height of his, like, existence,
yeah.
Of his being. Why in the hell are you messing around with Jimmy Garoppolo? But watching Jimmy Garoppolo and how he carries himself,
mm-hmm.
like, he's a good-looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the leadership ability, the physical football acumen.
Yep.
He looks the part. You know what I mean? It's one thing to, like, be the part and be good at it. But to, like, really look it, and you're going to replace a legend? Jimmy Garoppolo was the guy to replace the legend, you know? And so I now watching how he's evolved and taken the San Francisco 49ers, despite only throwing 8 passes in the championship game to the Super Bowl, he still had a big part, as BT detailed in our first segment, of getting them there. They have home field advantage because of Jimmy Garoppolo
mm-hmm.
Beating the Saints on the road. And so, like, I now understand why there was a faction – I don't know how big it was,
mm-hmm.
but there was a faction within the New England Patriots.
Oh yeah,
that were like, this guy's got to stay. He's got to be our guy because when Tom's done, he's the perfect.
You got to have a plan.
He's
can't
the
be
perfect
searching.
Plan.
Listen, I think that's very important to restate, and then we'll get Leroy Butler, who's going to join us coming up next year, about another aging quarterback, the great Aaron Rodgers, who wasn't so great and who wasn't very interested, at least in terms of what he projected body language yesterday on the field in Santa Clara. But I don't know. I think it speaks volumes about Garoppolo that. The Patriots, the smartest franchise in all the sport, let's
yep.
be honest, at least for the last 20 years, they wanted him to succeed Tom Brady, and the 49ers were willing to pay him an exorbitant amount of money. It seemed exorbitant then when he hadn't done a damn thing.
Yep.
So those are two smart franchises that said, that's the guy. That tells you all you need to know about Jimmy. That doesn't mean he's going to definitely win the Super Bowl. I mean, Mahomes could go for 390 with 5 touchdowns. Anything can happen, but it's going to be fun. And, yeah, I don't get wrapped up in too much in the numbers. You know, the 8 attempts were pretty pedestrian against the Vikings. He didn't throw the ball much in the second half. He didn't have to.
You're right.
He didn't have to, really. So, all right, Leroy Butler, what is the sentiment in Green Bay right now? Aaron Rodgers thinks the window is still open. I don't. Do you? You don't think it's still championship
no.
open, do you?
No.
Okay. So,
This was their best shot.
I agree. I don't think he gets back to an NFC Championship game. I said that on Tops yesterday, and I'll say it now. I don't think he ever plays in a conference championship game again. The conference is too good. And the teams that are bad have real coaches coming in, like Rivera for the Redskins. Not that Garrett was bad, but McCarthy is a proven champion winner. I mean, things are changing. I mean, the Panthers with Matt Rhule, so I think the window is shut. Maybe I'm wrong. Leroy Butler played with Brett Favre, so he's got the whole perspective. We'll get his thoughts coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the right part or accessory you need to get the job done right the first time. But did you know they will also check your battery, test your check engine light, install your wiper blades, and even loan specialty tools when you need them? And if your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right. In fact, now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by today and let the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. They know what it means to provide excellent customer service. That's why professional technicians have trusted O'Reilly Auto Parts for more than 30 years. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With the owner rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Go to geico.com. Easy. Been a while since we hooked up with this guy, but he is a friend of the show, and he's just piped in. Really, is anybody out there in Green Bay. Terrific Packer, four-time All-Pro champion as well. The great Leroy Butler, former safety, back with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Leroy, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good, guys. I mean, to say the least. I mean, it would have been great to have the Packers in Miami, the first ever Super Bowl with Kansas City, but it didn't work out
there. Yeah, first of all, congratulations on being a Hall of Fame finalist for the first time. It's awesome for you. Good luck to you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I hope to see your brother in there one day. I know he will be.
Yeah, he will. Just it takes some time. They got to learn how to appreciate the Nickelback, which he revolutionized in a lot of ways.
So good arc on that over the weekend on social media. That was pretty good. So, Leroy, let me ask you this. Before we get specifically into Rodgers and the future of the Packers, you know, it's my opinion. I know football, you know, wacky bounce, bad call, bad weather conditions. Anything can obviously happen. Mm-hmm. But it's my opinion that there was such a disparity in roster strength that the Niners were so clearly superior to the Packers that if they played 10 times, I think they'd win 8. Are you buying that, or are you not so sold on that statement?
Well, I think it may be some truth to it. I mean, yet the facts are facts. It's a lot of daylight. They scored 74 points in two games. You scored 28. I mean, it is what it is sometimes. I just remember, you know, back a decade ago, every team in the NFC was trying to figure out a way how to beat Green Bay and this Aaron Rodgers juggernaut with Mike McCarthy. That went on for a long time. Now, you know, tides have kind of turned a little bit. Everybody's going to figure out how to beat San Francisco. But remember, guys, San Francisco paid their dues. I mean, this team was 4-12 last year. They got a lot of high picks. You know, and that was the draft and development way with Ted Thompson. You know, my team has to be, you know, great 5 years from now. But now everything is on the fast track. It's all free agency, which was great for the Packers this year with the Smith brothers and Amos. But for the most part, I mean, when a team dominates you like that, where their quarterback, basically, they go in there and say, listen, Jimmy Garoppolo, you may not even throw a pass for an hour. I mean, that is just, as a defensive guy, I just think it's embarrassing to know that you can't stop a running back. That's a backup. He's not even a starter.
Right.
So it just didn't go well.
Yeah, Leroy, he'd been on six teams in 2 years. I mean, I hear what you're saying. But I wonder, you know, it's interesting because you talk about how it used to be, how are we going to stop or match the Green Bay Packers and this kid, Aaron Rodgers? I remember he was, like, so athletic. He was always moving out of the pocket, making great throws with accuracy on the move. And he's 36 years old now. And when you look at, say, the AFC Championship game, Pat Mahomes would tuck it and run. In fact, that 27-yard touchdown was a thing of beauty. Like, the game is, like, he started the evolution of it, but it's, like, evolved away from him, if that makes sense. Because he doesn't move as well as he used to because he's 36 years old.
Yeah, right. I think, the Packer fan base, they understand that they only, especially the millennials, they only saw two quarterbacks, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
It's crazy.
And so you think that every game he plays, that he's going to be an elite quarterback. I mean, that's just what all fan bases go through that, you know. And you just think that the physical part of it, there's nothing you can do about it. Your skills will diminish at some point. But the mental decision-making is something that should never leave any player. And the one thing you can hang your hat on was Aaron Rodgers would not throw interceptions and not turn the ball over. But with this particular team, he turned the ball over quite a bit, and that hurts your team. You cannot turn the ball over on the road. You just can't do it. I mean, the two fumbles and the interception, and especially when the defense is not right. Because I was on the defense in Super Bowl 32, you know, we just didn't make a lot of adjustments to stop Terrell Davis. So that was, you know, that enabled them to run the ball at will. And next thing you know, they won the Super Bowl. So sometimes coaches got to get out of their own way and come up with some adjustments to where you can put the game on. We had the disappointing thing about this, guys, neither quarterback was a factor. The Green Bay Packers should have made it to where Jimmy Garoppolo would have been the hero, not Mustard. No, he shouldn't have been the hero. The hero should have been whether or not Jimmy, you know, Garoppolo put up these hysterical numbers. Oh, he threw you four picks. That should have been the pressure. The guy threw it eight times. I mean, that is unprecedented. I had never even thought, other than Tannehill, I didn't think that was possible.
Well, it was in the 1940s.
Right, yes.
So to Leroy Butler, four-time All-Pro, and as Tiki said, he's a finalist for the Hall of Fame, so we wish him all the best there. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, great of Florida State, great with the Packers, a champion. All right, let me ask you this, Leroy. You can only manipulate so much in life. You can't control the aging process, as we all know. Now, you can work around it and tweak a few things and modify, but eventually it's going to get you. We know that. What you can control is what you project out there in terms of body language. And it's my opinion that, and I'm not reacting to the final score, and I picked the Niners to destroy the Packers. I wasn't surprised, but I'm not saying this after the fact. I was thinking this in the first quarter. Aaron Rodgers didn't show any, like, shoulders were slumped. It was almost as if he's saying to himself, we can't win this game. I did not like what I saw from him body language-wise. How about you?
Well, a lot of people were saying that because even when you see Mahomes, when they were down 24-0, you saw him, you know, trying to rally the troops, you know, kind of a rah-rah guy on the sideline to say, hey, listen, you defense guy, just give me an opportunity. We can win the game for you. Even then when they were down 10-0, he's being consistent. You know, Aaron is just not one of those type of guys to do that. So he tried to stay consistent. And I got a lot of questions like that, people asking about body language and stuff like that. But as players, we just want you to play. Because I think it was always unfair for Jay Cutler. I mean, he's on the sideline. If a kicker missed a field goal, they would put the camera on him. And it just wasn't fair. If somebody else gets a touchdown thrown on them, he's not even on the field, they would put the camera on him. And it was unfair to look at his body language. But I think what people want is that kind of leadership quality, you know, even when it's bad, make it sound good and let your – because that's what the younger players look for. They look for leadership and guidance. And sometimes it can help. And sometimes – and, Tiki, you know that sometimes guys can say, man, that's kind of fake.
Yeah, you're right.
I want that. Yeah. You know, it's kind of fake. But if you're going to do it, you got to do it all the time.
That's right. And I don't think that's in Aaron Rodgers' DNA to be that way. It is, you know, just as a contrast in Russell Wilson's DNA. Russell Wilson's that way all the time. No matter what, good, bad, he's always over there clapping. I mean, he's always staying up. But let's flip this to the team that it's heading to the Super Bowl because you watch this game as intently as we did. The San Francisco 49ers feel like they were built expertly. I mean, their run game is what it is, not necessarily because of Mostert or Tevin Campbell, who's likely out. Well, he is out because he broke his wrist or whatever it was. It's not the guy. It's the offensive line. Then you go look at the defensive line, which is also phenomenal. I mean, they built that team to win the old school way. What's the chances that San Francisco finally wins the Super Bowl again?
Well, I'm pulling up on Andy Reid. Andy Reid was with Green Bay when I was a young
that's right.
young player. The guy deserves the fact to have a chance at a Super Bowl. I think he's one of the smartest coaches in the league. With that being said, San Francisco has an opportunity to do something, to go from 4-12. The defensive coordinator last year, I think they only had 7 takeaways, and they wanted him fired. But Shanahan was like, nope, that's my guy. I need to show loyalty. And it paid off. And I'm shocked he doesn't have a head coaching job. But I will say this. When Big Joe Staley came back, I said to myself, they're going to run that football to that left side. They're going to make it difficult for everybody. But here's the problem with that, though. When you defend this offense, guys, there were always a lot of motion.
Yeah.
Guys are always moving, and it's confusing. I remember telling Reggie White this back in the 90s. If an offense came out and there was no motion or no shifts, we'll dominate you. But if you come out and set in any set you want, and then a guy takes off and goes to the other side, I got to go from strong to weak. Now that guy comes in again. I got to go back from weak to strong again. I get confused. I got to not next thing you know, he's – Mostert is right up the middle untouched. It's confusing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the kind of stuff that Kansas City is going to defend, because I didn't think Kansas City could stop Derrick Henry. But they did it, because they went to goal line defense and said, we'll make Tannehill beat us. Okay, you beat us. And that's what the Packers should have done. Just put goal line out there, 6 guys in every gap, and say whatever happens, happens.
Hey, you know, I want to get 30 seconds. I was going to actually say goodbye to you, but I want to get 30 seconds. I think it would be pretty interesting to get your thoughts on, you know, how different or how will Mike McCarthy going into the Dallas job, you know him well, obviously, how will do you expect him to really truly evolve and be much better than he was? He was good, but is there a next level? You think he's ready to take Dallas to where Dallas fans want him to go?
Yes. Dak Prescott better sign as soon as possible. He's going to put up numbers like he's never seen before. Ezekiel Elliott is going to have historical numbers. They better sign Randall Cobb because he loves a slot guy. And he's going to have a defense that blitz a lot. They're going to take a lot of chances. If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, get ready, because this is the coach that you will be missing.
All right. That's a hell of a scout report right there. No mixed signals there. Leroy, late Happy New Year, buddy. Maybe you're going to be in Miami or no?
Oh, yeah, I'm in Miami all week. I'll come and find you guys.
Swing by the show.
But I'll figure out it.
Swing by the show, man. You're always welcome. Swing by the set. We'll have you on, okay?
Be good, Leroy.
Leroy Butler. Hope he gets in. You got it, man.
Yeah, I mean.
Invented the Lambeau Leap, too. I mean, that's got to give it a little nudge into the Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, my issue with the Hall of Fame is they don't let enough guys in.
Yep.
It's too limiting.
There's always a million issues with the Hall of Fame. Tomorrow's going to be a lot about baseball. Listen, Larry Walker's getting in.
But I think baseball, all of them, gets it most right.
I don't disagree, because like, it's less nebulous.
Basketball is everybody.
Well, because it's encompassing everything.
You had a great high school.
Pan American Games back in 1970, whatever. I got you. But the thing about, and you know, we'll kick this really more so to tomorrow, but Larry Walker is going to get in. He's going to get, I believe, easily. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in the 80s. He's going to fly by 75% required to get in. But his first year on the ballot, I want to say it was he got 11% of the votes.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
How the hell do you go from 11%? Yeah. And I believe Larry Walker should. Not only do I think he'll get in, I think he should get in.
But it's not.
But how do you go from 11% to 82?
And there wasn't.
There wasn't a
mitigating issue like with Bonds and Clemens.
Correct.
Right. They just we don't want them.
Yeah.
Like they put them way down there.
So you suddenly got 70% better in the eye. You know, in terms of percentage, that's a ridiculous spike.
That's interesting.
I mean, so that'll be tomorrow.
I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, he was.
But you're right.
Very low. It was either 11 or 13. He was languishing where, you know, a couple of more in the wrong direction. He's off the ballot after one shot. So, all right, let's get Axe Update coming up after that. Inbounds, out of bounds. We'll get into that Revis, Richard Sherman beef. And who's had the better career? Maybe not as easy as you think. Axe Update is right now. All right, going to get to Inbounds, out of bounds in a sec here on the show. First off, time for doing more brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. How doers get more done. Pacers big man DeMontis Sabonis. He's just a good player. He was good at Gonzaga. He was good early in his career's first year, and he's just gotten progressively better every year. He's just a fundamental. I mean, his dad was obviously a terrific international star, so it's in the genes, but he's just a solid player. Last night, again, Pacers win by 8, 115-107 in Denver, and Sabonis pumped in 22 with 15 rebounds. He's always had a nose for the ball. 10 assists, too, so he's starting to dish. The Pacers have won 5 straight and have pulled to within a game and a half of the second seed in the East. And I got to tell you, I know there's some other big things going on, That kind of caught up on me.
Yeah.
Crept up on me. I didn't even know that.
And look, Victor Oladipo's still not playing yet.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations where you look at, like, Malcolm Brogdon was looked at as this, like, really good third piece for the Bucks.
Yeah.
He's turned out to be, like, a great first piece. I mean, he may make the All-Star game this year. So we'll see what the Pacers do when Oladipo does get back.
Mm-hmm.
I know he wants to be a singer. I keep saying that every time because he's such a good singer. We'll see if he has the same passion because he's missed a lot of time.
Oh, I think he will. To rehab that injury, I think you. I don't think you get back without the passion for that kind of an injury.
True,
that's a pretty invasive procedure.
But how much of himself? How much of himself is he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, listen. I think the bigger issue is now they've got to not reallocate roles, but
no, they do. That's exactly it.
I guess that's why I was hesitating if I should even say that. Yeah, maybe they do need to reallocate the roles a little bit. So they should have enough time to sort through that, but they're playing very well.
They
almost
are.
Within
that's
the second.
Surprising.
Wow.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Dude.
All right, T, inbounds, out of bounds. You good?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go, D-Cell.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. So for the third time in his career, Richard Sherman's playing in the Super Bowl. However, after the win, former Jets corner and Bucks corner and Patriots corner, that's where he won. Oh, God. Darrelle Revis threw a little shade.
I forgot he was on the Bucks, man.
He's at the Bucks. Threw a little shade at Sherman. All right, tweeting, quote, "Fear of getting beaten man-to-man coverage every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as a corner is lame."
Boo.
He actually wrote, "accept the challenge," E, and it's obviously it's supposed to be accept, and Richard Sherman will point that out grammatically later on when he clapped back, but accept the challenge at its best. Stop hiding in cover three zone. Now, as you would imagine, Sherman didn't take that lightly, responding with, quote, "enjoy watching the game from your couch. Your ninth year looked a lot different than this." He's not wrong. "I get my hands on the football in the playoffs, something you will never know anything about." I think he may have forgotten that Revis did win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sherman is and also got the two AFC Championship games with the Jets. So Sherman is a three-time first-team All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, while Revis made seven Pro Bowls and four first-team All-Pros. However, Revis Island was never quite the same once that knee exploded, mm-hmm. as we remember. All right, in or out, while Revis was superior at his peak, Sherman has had the better overall career.
I'm going to say inbounds. I think longevity matters here. And I love Darrelle Revis. I think when you compare him against Richard Sherman, who has not only been an impactful player, but also like an iconic player in so many ways, in so many different reasons, whether it was that Legion of Boom defense, which we've forgotten now, but like they were real with each other. They would like scream at each other and yell at each other to get it all out in the open, but it carried their play onto the field. I mean, they were dominant. Revis, yes, he won a Super Bowl with the traitor Patriots. And I get it. But he didn't have that, like he wasn't like an impactful player for that Super Bowl team. He was there and he was like shut down that side, but he wasn't.
He was pretty good.
It wasn't like he was the crux of why they won. You know?
No, that's true. Brady was.
Exactly. And I think that Richard Sherman was part of the reason that the Seahawks won a Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, one of the reasons that the 49ers are in the Super Bowl now.
Yeah, he's brought a lot to that secondary.
He really has.
The meeting room.
I
thought he was done, too.
Washed. I forget. He tore his Achilles, man.
I thought he was done. I was absolutely wrong. I think most people thought he was done based on the speed position.
Yep.
When that tendon snaps.
Not an ACL. Not like a tendon.
Achilles. Not good.
Yeah.
I would say out of bounds, though.
Mm.
And again, Santa frames it the right way because you want to make sure you distinguish at their peak. Nobody's going to disagree. At the peak, Revis was certainly better than,
no doubt.
Than Sherman. Nobody can contest that watched football on a weekly basis back then. But you have to remember, I mean, he was checking and shutting down Megatron, T.O. Randy Moss burned him once. Yeah, I was actually at the game. Revis had hurt his hamstring.
Yeah.
And Moss got right behind him in the end zone.
Yeah,
deep,
that was
50-yard
pass.
That
was a stupid catch, though. That was the one-hander.
That was the one-hander. Even on the one hamstring,
50
Moss
yards
had to make
downfield, like one-handed it. Like, okay, here we go.
It was a great
like
catch.
Like he's catching a Nerf football.
Yep. I think that, you know, if Revis didn't have a championship, maybe I can kind of go there a little bit more freely. Revis was better. Revis was certainly just better. He's asked to do more he was asked to do a lot more frequently. No disrespect towards Sherman. I love him. I'm a big Sherman fan. Darrell Revis was better. And I can't even, I can't really quite frankly hear the opposite to that. I just can't. Revis was better.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Lakers lead the West by 4.5 games over the Clippers. They've won 10 of 11 without Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Remember that nasty fold on the back, but it looks like he's ready to go. On Saturday, LeBron and company beat the Rockets on the road as fans in Houston reportedly chanted MVP for King James. Turncoats, what happened to your own? James Harden. After the game, Danny Green, who's been a nice piece there, called the Lakers America's team, echoing a similar sentiment back in November.
Definitely magnified, multiplied times 10 than anywhere else I've been. With how many fans, celebrities, people around the world just cheering and said it feels like America's team everywhere we go. But also said with all the types of celebs that I got a chance to grow up watching and still a fan of courtside and cheering us on and want to make friends and say hello and speak. It's kind of crazy and very surreal.
All right, there you go. Danny Green weighing in. The Lakers lead the NBA in merchandise sales, and they usually do, with LeBron certainly among the top few. LeBron has helped spike it, clearly. LeBron number one among all player jersey sales, while the Celtics, Sixers, Raptors, and the Bucks round out the top five. In or out, the Lakers are America's team in hoops.
Yeah, we tried to debate this. I'm going to say inbounds. As we were thinking about this question, there's just no one else that qualifies. Like, team with a good history that also is star-driven and are playing awesome basketball right now. There's not. I mean, the Knicks would be in the conversation if they were anywhere good.
Oh, they were good.
But they're not good.
No.
And so, like, you can't care about them. I mean, the Bucks are the best team in basketball, but they're in Milwaukee, and the history is not the same. So, yeah, I think it is the Lakers inbounds.
We were talking about this before the show, as Tiki said. You know, it's very hard to come up with any. I'll give you two teams just for the sake of conversation. One, I think you could make a strong case that maybe that would be the Warriors.
Yeah.
You know, if Klay doesn't bang out his knee, if Steph doesn't get hurt, a lot of big ifs there. But
yeah,
I can't throw the Celtics in there. The Celtics, to me, are a regional team.
They're and they're not loved.
No, no. The Celtics are a regional team and one that's despised outside of Boston in large measure. So nobody transcends the gate. Nobody transcends the merchandise. I would imagine the ratings on TNT would bear this out as well, nationally on ABC or ESPN. You want to watch the Lakers, and it's not just because LeBron's there. You wanted to watch when Kobe was there. You wanted to watch when Magic was there. It's the Lakers. This is an easy one. Inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
And on Saturday, Conor McGregor made it look a little bit easy. Back in the Octagon, UFC 246 main event against Donald Cowboy Cerrone. And the fight didn't go very long. No. I saw the highlights. Obviously, I had to get to bed a little bit early on Saturday for Tops on Sunday. But I saw the highlights. The highlights twice with the shoulder he got.
There was three highlights.
Yeah, he got, but he got
two shoulders,
with the shoulder.
They broke his nose.
Yeah. And 40 seconds later is basically over.
I don't know if I've ever seen that, BG.
It's funny. I said the same thing to Fletch. I said, I don't pretend to be like this technical, devout UFC guy, but I don't think I've ever really seen, although I believe Cerrone deploys the clavicle because it's bony if you think about it.
Yeah, of course.
And
it's
it
smart.
Can be effective
it's
for sure.
Smart.
When you're huddled up, that's not a bad move. You don't see it much, though. We didn't really see much from Conor because it was so fast. You saw that flying kick, which just caught him right in the chops, and it was lights out. So here we go. Quick first-round finishes are more exciting than long multi-round battles.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I like to see the attrition. I like to see when a guy is fatigued and either hanging on or just trying to find that finishing move at the end of it. And we didn't get a chance to see it in this one. These short ones, they're interesting and they're exciting.
Yep.
And it's like, man, he just, like the Friday, man, you got knocked. You know what? But it's I like seeing, like, a fight. I don't want to see a couple of strikes.
Well, what do we always talk about in the NFL? Oh, this coach didn't make second-half adjustments. I'd like to see adjustments made in a fight.
Yeah.
And you don't get adjustments within 40 seconds when your nose is hanging off your face.
That's
so
right.
I totally agree, Teak. My answer is out of bounds. You know, what does this mean for Conor moving forward, which obviously is the big story?
Yep.
He came back very different in his press conference. He talked very freely, which you have to respect.
Yeah.
He was drinking a lot leading up to his last fight.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready for it. His head was everywhere. He was sloppy.
He was. And it showed. And that's why Khabib beat the crap out of him. But it was interesting, BT. I read this article. I think it might have been in the Times or somewhere. And it was, you would appreciate it because it took, like, the verbiage from your old love, WWE, and said there was a process of turning Conor from the heel to the baby face, really, the hero, right? And so it's true. Like, his persona is different.
Yeah, but he's going to fight a lot this year. I think he said he's probably going to try to fight three times. So get Nate Diaz back in the cage, and then obviously and after that, Khabib, and then that'll be must-watch. By the way, from the TV side, a little bit short on our end today, 2 hours on the tube. We're about to do radio exclusively here on CBS Sports Network. A little NEC hoops for you. Robert Morris and Sacred Heart. Bobby V School.
Bobby V.
There you go. So enjoy the hoops. If you want to stick with that, if you want to stick with us, radio.com, conventional affiliates, SiriusXM 206, third hour coming up. We'll see you on TV tomorrow. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.